Let's begin. Episode 58.
In your sister's room, that's where it started.
Hello, this is Paul.
This is Laura.
And I'm Alton.
We are Team Derringer.
And you are listening to Derringer Discoveries,
where we take you, the listener, on an adventure.
A music adventure.
皆さん, 音楽冒険, podcast no Derringer Discoveries.
Americans love Irish people. Could you teach me to do a real Irish accent?
I could try. I could certainly try. It could be a challenge. Well, we'll give it a go. It's your show, so okay. You can do whatever you want.
All right.
The Cranberries. Do you have to let it linger? Van Morrison.
You, my brown-eyed girl.
The Coors.
Leave me breathless.
Thin Lizzy.
The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
Listeners, these artists conjure up some of the best Ireland has to offer as part of the musical landscape of the last six plus decades.
But perhaps the most well-known, the most commercially successful band from Ireland is U2.
The heart is a blue.
Formed in 1976, the band consists of frontman Bono, also known as Paul David Hewson, guitarist, keyboardist, and backing vocalist The Edge, whose proper name is David Howell Evans, bassist Adam Clayton, and on drums, Larry Mullen Jr.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that, Alton. I wrote down their full names, too. I was going to jump in, but you beat me to it. You kept me from jumping in with some tidbit information.
You and your tidbits.
Me and my tidbits.
It's a beautiful day.
Listeners, we're joined today by Maryland-based songwriter and producer David Hewson. Dave was featured on a past episode of the sadly now defunct Turnip Music Radio for his song Moonbeam Blue.
Moonbeams Blue.
Dave joins us today as a super fan of U2.
Have you with us. We have a number of listeners that go by the name of Dave, but this really is your name, so we're going to let you use it. We're not going to make you become Bob or Pete. Introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us how you became a fan of U2.
My name's David Husted. I'm a do-it-yourself music creator, songwriter, and a music producer. I've released 7 albums of original material since 2014. I love everything about music creation, and I'm so happy this hobby has enabled me a space to talk and network with great people like Derringer Discoveries, who seek out all types of music, including, for better or for worse, my music. The question of why do I love U2? I became a U2 fan way back in the 80s. I was one of many, many people that found their sound creative. I called the Edge Effect. It was moving and a bit anti-establishment. They were trying on their early material to emulate that tough punk rock vibe, but their sound was punk-ish, but also accessible to a much wider audience.
I was on the outside.
You are listening to Derringer Discoveries,
with listeners in more than 30 countries.
Dave, are you willing to commit to what part of the 80s you discovered U2? Obviously, just about the whole world discovered them in 1987, but were you one of the people who discovered them in the early 80s?
Yeah, I would say back in the 83 timeframe, I was in high school. That's when, you know, MTV was just kind of kicking in.
I can't believe the news today.
And then in college, that it really kicked in.
Yeah, you know, Dave, I was the same way. U2's album War was the very first album that I heard. Sunday, Bloody Sunday, New Year's Day. I had no clue that they had released 2 albums before that.
October, and the trees are stripped bare of all they wear. What do I care, October?
Listeners, for this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about U2's hit album, The Joshua Tree. And we'll also feature the top 5 favorite songs by our guest, David Hewston.
See the stone.
The Joshua Tree is U2's 5th studio album, which was released in March 1987 and charted in over 20 countries. It also happens to be Dave's favorite album.
See the thorn twist in your side.
Some familiar hits from the album include With or Without You.
With or Without You.
Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For.
But I still haven't found.
Where the Streets Have No Name. The critically acclaimed album won the Grammy for Album of the Year. Dave, our listeners would love to know why this album is your favorite and why these 37 years later, it still means so much to you.
Well, for one, the album has staying power. It holds up over time. It's an album that is very easy for me to listen to all the way through, even after all these years, because every song is just so good.
The Joshua Tree is regarded as one of the best rock albums of all time. And this is supported by the fact that it has sold 25 million copies. And if you go to Spotify, the songs from it are very high streamers. In fact, one song has streamed over a billion times. The tour that started in 1987 in support of the Joshua Tree also ushered in U2's arena concert era, and that era has stayed with them. They're still doing arenas after all these years.
This is recording artist Katie Tisch from Baltimore, Maryland in the United States. I listen to Derringer Discoveries, a music adventure podcast.
Number five.
At number five for Dave's pick, the song is New Year's Day.
All is quiet.
Released in January 1983 from the album War, which Alton mentioned at the get-go, the songwriter is credited as U2. As you'll see, most of the songs are credited to the band rather than individuals, even if Bono wrote the lyrics and The Edge wrote the melody. It started as a love song from Bono to his wife.
I want to be with you night and day.
But then he crafted the lyrics to make it about the Polish solidarity movement.
Nothing changes.
New Year's Day charted in 11 countries, peaking at number 2 in U2's homeland of Ireland, and it also peaked at number 2 in the U.S. on Billboard's top tracks. Dave, you picked this as number 5. Tell us about New Year's Day and why it's one of your favorite songs by U2.
This song has a raw energy and power that draws me in. I remember loving the MTV video for the song back in the day, and it was probably one of the points in time I began to first resonate with the U2 sound. I love the piano riff too. I'm a keyboardist. I get to perform this song in a cover band I play in called Wild Good. The song's bass pattern, guitar, and piano melody combine in a magical way that you can just get lost in, and I love playing it.
Yeah, you know, a lot of focus is always on The Edge and Bono, but Adam Clayton's bass really does drive a lot of the songs, especially the early stuff.
I totally agree with that. That bass drives those songs.
Jij luistert naar Derringer Discoveries, een muziekavonturenpodcast.
Number 4.
I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation.
Listeners, at number 4 for Dave's favorite U2 songs is Pride in the Name of Love.
One man come in the name of love.
Pride in the Name of Love is the second track on the band's 1984 album, The Unforgettable Fire.
One man to overthrow.
The song was written about American civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. and has been ranked by Rolling Stone as being in the top 500 songs of all time, ranked at number 378 as of this recording. Here's some trivia for you guys. Credited with backing vocals on the track is singer Christine Kerr. Anybody know her by a different name?
I think we should let our guest answer this question. David, can you scratch your head and figure out who is Christine Kerr?
Could it be Chrissy Hynde?
I'd say you'd be right on the mark.
The Pretenders.
God bless. In pocket.
Dave, tell us why you picked Pride in the Name of Love as your number 4 favorite song.
Well, Bono delivers big on this one. He's a great singer and performer, and he just bellows out a genuine, heartfelt masterpiece here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a classic.
When I was was young, I did not even realize that the song was about Martin Luther King. I just thought it was a great song. The MLK link makes the song even more powerful to me. U2 is not afraid to stand up for very worthy causes throughout their whole career.
Hello there everyone, it's an early bird here from Italy. I listen to Derringer Discoveries, a music adventure podcast.
Number 3.
Coming in at number 3 on Dave's top 5 is I Will Follow. Dave, we have this in common. This also happens to be my favorite U2 song. This is from their debut album, Boy. The song was released in 1980.
This song actually has two glockenspiels on it.
The glockenspiel is derived from two German words meaning bell play. You'll hear that the glock sounds like bells.
So they don't talk about it much, but that's not usual for a rock song to have not one, but two glockenspiels.
Can you say that three times quickly?
Glockenspiel, glockenspiel, glockenspiel.
All right, well done.
Played by Bono and The Edge, so they each had their own glockenspiel.
That's what every guy wishes for, his own glockenspiel.
I would say that edge-jabbing guitar signature sound just drives you forward and keeps you moving. And the way Bono peppers out, walk away, walk away, I'll walk away, just rocks.
This is Tim Ryan from Studio 607 in Charlottesville, Virginia, and we're all listening to Derringer Discoveries.
Number 2.
At number 2 is Sunday Bloody Sunday, also off of U2's album War from 1983. This is U2's most performed song and the very first song I heard with the band.
I can't believe.
It's also one of the band's most political songs, but to quote drummer Larry Mullen Jr., we're into the politics of people, we're not into politics.
Oh, I can't close my eyes, make it go away.
Sunday Bloody Sunday, and it refers to the event in 1972, but I also found that there were three other Bloody Sundays in Ireland prior to this one, one in 1913, one in 1920, and one in 1921. Dave, why did you pick this song as number 2?
That drum intro and the guitar always tune my ears right in. This is another one similar to New Year's Day that both the video and the music captured me in my youth. It has a rebellious, anti-establishment bravery to it. It's more punkish to my ears, with Bono just owning the space.
Tidbits for this song, and I hope you guys don't mind. The first one is, this song actually has a fifth person.
Is this the guy that played a violin?
That's correct. Steve Wickham ran into The Edge at a bus stop, and next thing you know, Steve Wickham is putting violin on the song and is expanding the band from 4 to 5.
There's many lost, but tell me.
That's one bit of trivia. The other bit, Larry Mullen Jr. was encouraged by the producer, Steve Lillywhite, to play his drums to a click track on this song, and he balked. He did not want to play to a click track. Drummers take pride. They don't like to think that they need a click track to stay on beat. Lillywhite encouraged him, and he initially declined to do so, but then he talked to another musician who said, oh yeah, we use a click track on every song. So he decided to go ahead and honor Steve Lillywhite's request.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Julian Taylor from Toronto, Canada, and I have enjoyed listening to Derringer Discoveries.
Number 1.
That leads us to Dave's number 1 pick, and as Laura noted, it's hard to narrow down U2 to just 5 songs, but that's how we do our episode. We put a lot of pressure on our guest.
If you twist and turn away.
Dave, for number one, picked a song from 1984 that was featured in the 1985 Live Aid concert.
It's 12 noon in London, 7 a.m. in Philadelphia, and around the world, it's time for Live Aid.
In the concert, it ran for 12 minutes. The song is Bad.
This is a song called Bad.
Not the song is bad, but that's the name of the song. And it's from the Unforgettable Fire from 1984. It's credited to U2, but Bono is the lyricist on it. It is about heroin addiction in Dublin.
Direct from London, a group whose heart is in Dublin, Ireland. Whose spirit is with the world. A group that's never had any problems saying how they feel. U2.
Dave, tell us why you like the song so much and why you picked it as your number one song by U2.
If you tear yourself into again.
The mood this song brings forward is so outstanding. Edge with that harmonic rhythm where the notes just sort of float in front of you like flickering stars. This is Dave's brain going here. It gives a platform for Bono to perform his heartfelt, soaring vocals. It was about the difficulties of drug addiction, and I believe the band had recently lost a close neighborhood friend, and this song emerged as a response.
If I could, I would let it go.
And I think it's testimony, the fact that they played it at Live Aid, each band was only given a very small amount of time to play, and they chose to play Bad. In fact, because it ran over, they had to knock Pride out of the set list. They couldn't finish with Pride. And the reason it ran over was because Bono jumped into the audience. At the time, people thought he was jumping into the audience to dance with one of the women in the audience, but it turns out she was suffocating. She was being pressed. So he jumped into the audience to draw attention so that the people working the concert would see that there was need to get her out of the audience. Even though it's a major song, and Dave, you picked it as your favorite song, it only hit the charts in one country, but that was the country of the U.S. Here in the U.S., it went to number 19 on the U.S. Billboard Top Rock Tracks.
Yeah, Dave, those are all fantastic choices, but we can't help but notice that none of those songs in your top five were from your favorite album, The Joshua Tree. Tell us what's up with that.
I love Joshua Tree as an entire album. The album just gels together so perfectly to my ears. This album also has a nostalgic pull for me as I was getting my first taste of freedom in college, away from home when this came out, and it served as a sort of touch point for my independence. This album was always close by, especially as I struggled with tough classes in engineering, and it was just a great diversion.
Yeah. Okay, real quick, around the horn, what's your favorite song from the album? Everybody.
Probably With or Without You.
With or Without You.
Yeah, good song. How about you, Laura?
Where the Streets Have No Name.
Picking the hits.
I can't help it.
The song that I like the most off this album is Bullet the Blue Sky.
In the howling wind.
I've never heard such an amazing, basically one or two note song soar like this one does. So that's my favorite one. How about you, Paul?
Yeah, mine is. I'm glad no one picked it, but mine is. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I did go with the hit. Put out a new song this year in 2024. It was mid-February, and it's a single called Atomic City. I want to play it for our listeners, or a snippet.
Atomic City.
That's their latest single, at least as of the recording of this episode, Atomic City.
I'm front row in Las Vegas, and there's a big one on tonight.
This is Dave Derringer, a legacy Derringer from Lynchburg, Virginia, USA. You are listening to Derringer Discoveries, a music adventure podcast.
With listeners in more than 30 countries.
Listeners, few bands have had the kind of endurance that U2 has had.
I'm not afraid of anything in this world.
U2 has put out 15 studio albums. They have won 22 Grammy Awards. They have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they were inducted in their first year of eligibility.
There's nothing you can throw at me that I haven't already heard.
And U2 has racked up 22 million monthly listeners on Spotify. They are one of the top 500 bands in the world. According to Spotify, they're at 285.
Yourself together, you've got stuck in a moment, and now you can't get out of it.
Dave, this is your last chance. Do you want to send out any shout outs to any of your friends, family, fans?
First, I'd like to say thank you to Team Derringer Discoveries. You guys are awesome.
Show me your piece of the world.
You're a blast to listen to, great people, and you really know and love music. And it's obvious and fun to witness whenever I listen to any of your episodes.
Show me your piece of the world.
Thank you for that and for allowing me to share a couple of moments with you just jabbing about music.
Show me a piece that you want to divide, to buy and control and burn down.
You can find any of my music on any streaming service. The easiest way to find me is to just Google Dave Houston Music.
Save me, oh, you're raving lunatic. Slogans that placate our minds.
I also have a new release coming out called Collide.
Collide.
It's scheduled to hit all streaming platforms on April 12th.
Earth and death.
Listeners, thank you so much for joining us and our special guest and friend of Derringer Discoveries, Dave Houston, for this episode featuring U2.
Listeners, you can find us on social media. We're at Derringer Discoveries on Facebook and at Derringer Pod on Instagram, Threads, and X, the platform formerly known as Twitter. You can also reach out to us by sending an old school email to feedback@derringerdiscoveries.com. Be sure to click that follow button on your podcast app so you'll never miss an episode.
Until next time, this is Paul.
This is Alton.
And this is Laura.
And Dave, you might as well chime in.
And this is Dave Houston.
You've been listening to Derringer Discoveries,
a music adventure podcast.
In your sister's room.
Dave was featured on a past episode of the sadly now defunct Turner. Blah.
I also have a new release coming out called Collide.
Great pun. Collide's going to hit.
Look out for Collide.
At number.
You're taking bloody. Okay, got you out. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you good with that?
Yep, I'm fine.
All right. They've got a residency at the Sphere. And just out of curiosity, I checked the price of those tickets. They range anywhere from $300 to $600.
I actually heard from a friend who was trying to get tickets recently that the cheapest ones they could find were $1,400.
You're the concert goer for Team Derringer, so would you pay $1,400?
No. And I do love live music. You guys know that about me, but man, ouch.
Don't send us hate mail. Just send
attention,
us...
Attention, Paul.
Attention, Laura and Alton. With special guest, David... Sorry, I was hearing Dave and David, and so I keep going back and forth and jumping on myself with that. Do you prefer Dave or David?
I go by either, honestly. It's all good.
All right, good. It's a wrap. I'm going to end the recording. We can chew the fat for a few minutes if you want, but let me just get this recording off.
USA. She could hear the satellite coming down. Pretty soon she was in London town. Wembley Stadium, an